How can it be that over 2 billion people across the world today still lack access to energy? In a world where 1 liter of urine is as effective as 7 liters of fuel to power generating sets, to run our industries, probably to power our cars, provide us cooking gases, and to just make our lives easier, how can it be that over 2 billion people still lack access to electricity, and we still depend so much on fossil fuel despite the challenges, the crisis that has been linked to climate change? So when we hear people like Al Gore, Johan Rockström, Antonio Guterres talk about we having the solutions, we having the technology, and the need for us to move faster, the need for us to rally up political will, they probably know what they are talking about, because solutions like this exist, and we just need to put the funds in the right place. We just need to scale up. We just need to improve these technologies, make climate change and climate crisis a thing of the past sooner than we can imagine, or at least one component of the big conversation, which is energy. My guest today sheds more light on how hydrogen, ammonia-rich flammable gases have been extracted from urine. He has 6 patents along the lines of using human waste to generate energy. And he does this across the value chain such that nothing, I repeat, nothing goes to waste. On this episode, he walks me through the process. First, how the journey began, and then from his first patent to his 6th patent, and even the 7th one that is on the way, he tells me about how he has been generating hydrogen and ammonia with a single process from urinal waste. So when next you take a piece, probably 1 liter of it, just consider it as effective as 7 liters of fossil fuel to power your generating sets. Welcome to this episode of the Climate Talk Podcast. My name is Seyifumi Adebote, and I am excited to be your brain guide on this ride today. Ejikeme Patrick Nwosu is my guest. He is the brain behind Lumos Laboratories Nigeria, one of the many existing innovations bringing about solutions to the energy crisis today. You'll hear from the horse's mouth in a bit, but if it's the first time listening to the Climate Talk Podcast, there are dozens of other episodes from the past where you can listen to our conversations with politicians, thought leaders, innovators like Patrick, young people, advocates, activists, different people from different walks of life have been guests on the Climate Talk Podcast, and it's always exciting to learn new perspective, but it gives me more joy to share this information with you, and it will be good if you could share it with people in your network. The Climate Talk Podcast is available on all podcast streaming platforms. Just search for Climate Talk Podcast. The website is also www.climatetalkpodcast.com. If you'd like to reach me, my email is seyi@climatetalkpodcast.com. It's time to welcome my guest, Ejikeme Patrick Nwosu, to walk us through his innovations and how he's converting urine into energy in a world where 2 billion people still lack access to electricity. Mr. Ejikeme Patrick Nwosu. Did I pronounce that right, sir?
Yes, you got it right.
Such a pleasure to be with you today, Mr. Nwosu. How are you doing today? How are you feeling?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Great.
It's a pleasure to be with you now.
Indeed. I have followed some of your work as an innovator, as a scientist, and I am really intrigued with some of the products that you have invented. Being a Nigerian myself, I am so proud that innovations like this are coming from Nigeria. But let's start with a bit of introduction. Let us meet you, Mr. Nwosu. How would you introduce yourself, please?
Okay, thank you very much. I'm Ejikeme Patrick Nwosu, as you rightly said earlier. I'm from Anambra State, Nigeria. I have a background in chemistry and organic chemistry masters, and I'm a full-time researcher. I've been in research, especially on conversion of waste into green hydrogen. as a researcher, been able to make some innovation, invented some product processes, and as at now, have some 6 invention patent rights of the Federal Republic of Nigeria on different technologies, indigenously conceived, designed, and been delivered in Nigeria the way we conceived them.
Awesome. You know,
and the 7th patent, I spoke with the patent office some days ago, and we hope that before end of the year, we are getting our 7th patent, which is an improvement on one of our earlier patents. So in a nutshell, we convert waste, especially human waste, liquid waste and others, into hydrogen-rich gases, which we blend with other gases to generate electricity or can be used as cooking gas. And the byproduct of our processes have wonderful economic benefits. Thank you very much.
Great, thank you. In a bit, we will get into the details of these different patents that you have and the solutions they are bringing to the table. But first, I want to learn, how did it start for you? You have a background in chemistry, like you said earlier. So how did this transition into thinking about innovating for climate, innovating to reduce carbon emissions, how did it start for you? What was the prompt?
Okay, growing up, even from my secondary school days, I love science. I love great scientists. I love inventors. I studied them a lot. You know, I so much love science. You know, not just studying science for studying, trying to make a mark, you know. So, and I love experiments. Even from secondary school days, sometimes at school, try to contrive equipment and make experiments. As undergraduate, this by Nnamdi Azikiwe University, Awka, I do experiments at home using equipment that I fabricated by myself, because I know then and still now that one of our major challenges is not about a lack of knowledge or lack of qualifications or lack of education, but lack of applications of what we have learned. You know, I ask myself, when we are in 100 level, one of our lecturers, Dr. Ezenwick, I think he's a professor now, said that there's no reason a chemist, somebody that studied chemistry, should be poor, because there are many things you can do. That in Sankey Meet he did. You know, so it doesn't make sense that you have all the qualifications, all the background, the theories, get qualification, and you'll be able to produce anything. I said it's better that I'm able to produce methylated spirit, distilled water, toothpick, no matter how small, than doing nothing. So from my undergraduate days, I fabricate equipment at home, which are not part of my studies. I started doing some experiments at home. And I joined the American Chemical Society in my 100 level. Being a member of that society, actually, they gave me some level of mentorship that kept making one to be more focused on not just passing the exam for passing sake, but actually knowing what you have studied, you know. So as undergraduate, I carried out one of my studies on conversion of urine into ammonia and other stuff using equipment I fabricated. And the result came out positive as I expected. I was so happy. And the society I joined in America helped me to publish the abstract, which can still be found online today. That was in 2004. So I was so happy to see my name as an author. You know, so I asked myself, if I could do this, why I'd be able to do more. So that was one of the stories behind it.
That was an inspiration. That made you know that you could do a lot of things. And then it gave you that push to venture into a lot of innovations. Great. So can you walk us through some of these innovations you have? You said you have 6 registered patents now. One is on the way. Can you just tell us some of these patents, please?
Okay. One of the patents is, the first one, we all know what it is, developed a process for converting human urine, animal urine, into a mixture of hydrogen and ammonia and other gases. These gases are flammable gases, you understand, in a single-step chemical reaction, you know. So that was the first patent, I think it was 2014. And as we got this first patent, the equipment to do the reaction the experiment at a higher scale was nowhere to be found on the shelves and anywhere. Then I prompted, because most of the studies I do, it's not that I'm mandated or given a grant to do it, just by inspiration or passion. So that was for the first patent. So the equipment to do that at a higher scale was not available anywhere. So in order to try to get that equipment done, I designed and invented an equipment that I called Patron Flask Reactor. This reactor is what you use to now do this experiment at a larger scale. And we installed the first one around 2015, somewhere in Abuja, and it is still here till now, making a second patent. Then, as we produce hydrogen-rich gases, one of the challenges of hydrogen technology is storage and transportation. And I check, how do we transport hydrogen? How do we store it? Looking at our weak infrastructural system. And I say, which means it is better to produce hydrogen, the quantity you need per day, and use. And I say, okay, how do you use? Most hydrogen cases are actually blended with other gases for some reasons. Okay, starting to look for another gas to buy is another challenge. And so, okay, and I brought the idea of, since we can produce biomethane from biodegradable waste, feces, food waste, and others, why can't I have a system where I convert urine into hydrogen-rich gases, feces into methane, and blend at the proportion that are needed? We carried out that study after a number of trials, and they came out successfully and got the actual right proportion of the blending to give you what you want, either for cooking gas or for generation of electricity. Even if you check one of my posts in 2016 on Facebook, it is still there, where I did some of those things. So that's now the third patent. Then the fourth patent is that as the byproducts are coming out, what do you do to them? If you don't look for need for the byproducts, they will also constitute another environmental challenge or hazard. So I now studied it and noted that byproducts have fire retardant properties. I noted that all the fire retardant paints, almost all of them in the country are imported. So carried out the studies and they produce a high quality fire retardant paint, which the president, the previous Nigerian president, President Buhari, has mentioned it in three presidential speeches last year via the VP of Osinbajo about our fire retardant paint. So making it the fourth one, then the fifth one, what when we collect our urine and it is in higher quantity, more than we need for the production of generation of gases, what happens to them? And I know that urine is rich in nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, NPK, which is a fertilizer. Carried out further studies on how to enrich urine, do some studies, removing pathogens, upgrading other infusions, and come up with a liquid organic fertilizer from human urine. That's the fifth patent. Then the sixth patent, to produce that fire retardant paint, the material need to be purified. And we have different separation and purification techniques in chemistry. And the actual process that I've been using over the years has not been mentioned somewhere, anywhere. I have to now develop an equipment, which I call the Zuko Flask, and that's the sixth patent. The seventh patent that is coming, I can talk about it because we have already applied and they have been acknowledged. We are waiting for the approval and signature of the registrar to get it. The reactor we produce for getting this production of hydrogen, rich gases, what is a chemical reaction. We have developed a hybrid reactor that can produce these gases by chemical reaction and also by electrolysis using solar panel or wind turbine to power them. So that's where we are now. And we hope for more wonderful things to come. Thank you very much.
This is incredible. This is incredible. Thank you so much for sharing with me the journey so far.
Thank you.
And I'm inspired. I mean, you've been on this since 2004. And just the comment from a lecturer, that challenge that a chemist must not be poor, was what swung you into action. Incredible. Okay, so I want to learn. Just tell me a little bit about how it works. So urine and some other organic waste being converted to run to produce energy. Is that so?
Yes. You know, you don't produce energy, you can generate energy. Urine, urine are converted into gases.
Yeah.
Hydrogen-rich gases. Hydrogen is the lightest of the elements, highly flammable. Must be handled with a lot of care. So most generators we have, you know, don't run 100% on hydrogen. Though in recent trip I made to Germany weeks ago, I visited a company 2G. They actually have a generator, a modern generator that runs 100% hydrogen, but I've not seen it in the country yet. So when you produce these gases, you now have to blend with other gases for easy usage, for generation of electricity, using internal combustion engine. You understand?
Yeah.
Then, but recently, after my recent trip on Germany, I also noticed that I've been studying about fuel cell. Fuel cell is another technology where instead of using internal combustion engine, you can actually channel these gases into fuel cell and generate electricity at a very higher rate. In fact, this I'm holding here is a fuel cell device. The first device that once the hydrogen gets into this, it's not generating electricity. You understand? But it's still the technology is expensive and we don't have them in Nigeria. You have to bring them from Asia or Europe or some other countries. But they are giving us very wonderful results. And this is the future. What is behind functioning of all these hydrogen fueled cars? And when it is working, the byproduct is water vapor. And you will not even, almost there's no sound. Unlike internal combustion engine that will make noise, in a way you put your generator, this one doesn't make noise, but it's still expensive. So we have a couple of them. We are working hard on to see how to upgrade and apply this in future studies. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. So let's talk about some of the support you've gotten so far. What has it been with the feedback? What has it been with putting out your work there? Have you gotten some support? What has made the work easier for you?
Up to this moment, I've never gotten any kind of grant from Nigerian government or Nigeria agencies or whatever. What has been supporting this from beginning, personal fund and some support from some family and friends, you know. But recently, sometime last year, a Canadian company that is also into this kind of technology got interested, and we decided to do some kind of level of partnership to improve what we are doing for it to be exported into Western world. So they started giving us some support, which made it easier for us to acquire equipment, even employ, because it was only me, more like only me alone, employ more hands, you know, put them on good pay and orders, acquire some equipment and speed up some innovations. Though some of the agencies or ministries in the country have done some job for them, maybe they put it in, maybe give it like a work or contract to execute. Yeah. Which after it has been confirmed satisfactory, we get paid for that job. Well, that one is also a kind of support, because from the proceeds one make, one try to prove them back into the business. Yeah. But unlike the way it's done in more advanced countries, where things like this need more support, especially at the incubation, ideation, and the growing up stages. So I think one of the main things behind what we're doing is the passion. It's passion for excellence and passion for improvement in what we do.
My next question, I mean, with this, I imagine that Nigeria being a fossil fuel-based country, that's how we, you know, thrive. I also imagine that with a lot of businesses that have their foothold in fossil fuel generating sets and all that, there may come some resistance to ideas like this from becoming large scale. Have you seen some pushback because these innovations of yours will threaten, you know, the usual fossil fuel based generator and energy dynamics as we know it today?
Well, I know that it's possible. Like somebody that sells most of our economy, GDP, revenue comes from fossil fuel. You expect that, you know, the people that are into the business might see that other technologies might affect their business. But the things have changed. In my presentations to agencies, ministries, and I always tell them that the stone age did not end with unavailability of stones. And the same way, the fossil fuel age will not end with unavailability of oil. If you notice recently, many people are talking about hydrogen, renewable energy, because even those corporations, conglomerates that are into fossil fuel business, they have seen that if they don't innovate, they'll be out of business. For instance, Germany, about 50% of their energy source is renewable energy. About 50% of energy source in Germany is renewable energy. Now, see what is happening with the war in Russia. After cutting the source of the gas supply, you know, imagine if they don't have something to fall back to. You understand? So imagine, I was discussing with my staff some days ago. I told them, imagine there is war in Nigeria, the way there's problem in Gaza right now, and we cannot import petroleum products into the country. So what will happen? It means that in a few days, no communication because network providers will not be able to power their equipment. So does it mean that we'll go incommunicado because we cannot refine our petroleum product or we cannot offer technologies to use? So these corporations that you see, many of them, you see them, they are investing heavily into renewable energy because they know that's the future. Because whether I like it or not, you see Toyota, you see Nissan, many of them are already into hydrogen-powered cars, electric vehicles, because they know that's the future. We are not talking about the climate change and others. Many European countries now, in some years to come, all these fossil fuel powered cars, vehicles will be phased out. So are we going to wait until that stage before start thinking about what to do? So yes, definitely, all those corporations or countries that are into feel that their economy is dependent on fossil fuel, they know that there's no hiding place. Either you do the right thing, or you'll be out of business.
Thank you. Now, probably this will be my last question. Just like you said, climate change is becoming a problem and becoming topical. Innovations are now beginning to move away from oil-based systems into systems like yours. Do you foresee, I think I foresee, but I want to hear from you. Do you foresee that with this transition from fossil fuel-based lifestyle to sustainable lifestyle, innovative lifestyles or mechanisms like yours, do you foresee that there may become like an overload on the work you do at Lumos Laboratories, for instance? Do you imagine that there will become a time when there will be so much pressure on you or on your systems?
If I can cook one cup of rice, I can as well cook 10 cups. What matters is to have the technology and have the support. You understand what you're saying? Because we need the manpower. Even in developed world, people that know about hydrogen are not much. People that are well trained on the technology are not much. But how do you get equipped if not by doing? And how can companies improve? It is not when they are patronized, they prove the money they make back into the business. Yes, but what we are doing is that from what we know, we are improving. We know that such is a possibility, to be frank, because even, for instance, in Austin in Nigeria that manufactures car or not, that also assemble car in Lagos. If you give them order of 1 million cars immediately, or say 200,000 cars, say 2 months, they might not be able to deliver. But Toyota or Honda may be able to deliver because of what they have, but they have to start from somewhere first. But won't wait until that point. Won't wait until that point, because yeah, whether we like it or not, it must come to that point.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. I take you back to 2004, was it, when you said that your lecturer told you that as a chemist, you must not be poor. I want you to give a word to a young innovator, a young scientist, someone who thinks he has the power, he is in a position to also innovate something new, he's in a position to bring about some solutions to some of the big challenges that we face today. If you had to give, you know, a word of encouragement, a word of support based on your experiences, what would that be?
What cannot be stolen from you is what we have in you, the knowledge you have, the skills you have. Do you understand? And once we have this knowledge, I have these skills, it will not only fetch you fortune, it will also get you respect. Do you understand? There's no alternative. There's no two ways about it. In fact, I will tell you that I was very happy that when we were in Germany, we stayed at Julius Vega International in Germany. When we are discussing, they were surprised that somebody in Nigeria knew about hydrogen to the point of even the hydrogen project that is functional. I told them, yes, we do. We may not have the capacity you have, may not have your financial support, we may not have your infrastructure technology, but I felt proud of the country and also felt proud of myself and the team, what we are doing. So the advice is that whatever you are doing, you find your calling, just be very serious and be consistent in it. Be consistent in it and be serious in it. And success is not all about money. My happiness is that I know many people that have passed through my tutelage on with this waste to gas. To me, I see it as success. Last year, we did a program with Ministry of Environment. We are from youth, we are trained on conversion of waste into gases. And some of them came out, did well. The project we did this year, we have to employ one or two of them. So success is not only about money. But the truth is that when you are passionate about what you are doing and you start creating value, definitely you're going to make a good fortune out of it.
Interesting. I am so glad to have had this discussion. It's been an exciting conversation. And I just wish you all the very best. I hope that we get to speak and stay in touch also. And I'm very certain that you will continue to do great things and inspire a new generation of innovators. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And that's the size of the package on this episode of the Climate Talk podcast. It's been a rich one, I would say. Maybe not an ammonia-rich one, but a very exciting one. Learning about this technology and being super pumped about the possibilities that we have. Many technologies, we have many solutions that we need. We just need this political will. We need to put our money where our mouth is, and we need to collectively move faster in the same direction. It won't be easy, I know, but it is possible. It is possible. You can follow the Climate Talk podcast also on social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Feel free to follow our platforms. If you need to reach out to me, my email again is shei@climatetalkpodcast.com. And Shei is spelled SEYI@climatetalkpodcast.com. Until the next episode of the Climate Talk podcast, I want to say thank you for listening. And remember that no action is too small.